flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in here on QAM Hollywood. Omar Kelly, Dan Day with you. It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com. We are joined by our friend Alan Poupart. He's the publisher of Miami Dolphins on SI. He is the host of the All Dolphins podcast. Alan, good morning. Thank you for hanging with us here on a Football Friday.
I cannot think of a better way to spend a few minutes on this beautiful Friday morning here in Orlando, where it's probably 20 degrees colder than where you guys are.
Yeah, Orlando. So what's the big plan for the son's birthday?
Oh, it's in Orlando. It's a universal weekend for the little man who's not so little anymore.
My question to you is, Alan, my daughter's turning 4, and I'm considering taking her to Disney World. Do you think 4 is too early for Disney World?
You're probably right at the cutoff, I would think. Here's the big test is, does she get excited whatsoever if you put on Snow White, Little Mermaid, or wherever on the TV at home?
No, absolutely not.
My 2-year-old goes nuts for Mickey. What are you talking about?
No, I don't think she's in Disney. Yeah, no, she's no. She doesn't.
He's just trying to weasel his way out of it because he knows it's expensive. That's all he's trying to do right now.
I hate Disney. I really do hate Disney. But anyway.
What is it? The heat? The long lines?
The long lines.
The expensiveness?
The long lines.
Yeah,
yes.
There's a lot of drawbacks, but it's nice. Take your kid. It's nice.
I'll wait till
Alan,
like 5.
Let's get into some Dolphin stuff here because you do have a few articles up here, SI.com, that I found interesting here. And we talked a lot about this over the past week or so. I personally thought that the Dolphins' backup quarterback, the mishandling of that situation, was the most costly thing that they did, the most costly error that the Dolphins committed. You wrote about this situation with the backup quarterback. What was your takeaway on that?
My takeaway was all along I felt it was like horrible roster management. And then as we set up for Chris Greer's end-of-season press conference, I'm thinking, okay, maybe there is a good explanation here that's going to come out. And his explanation made me feel even worse about the whole situation. It was like, first of all, he kind of said, well, we won big games with Skylar Thompson. You know, he got us into the playoffs with that win against the Jets in 2022. Yeah, they went 11-6. And then in the playoff game, he mentioned that they scored 31 points. Yeah, they scored 31 points because they had 3 takeaways on defense, including a fumble return for a touchdown, plus a 50-yard punt return by Cedric Wilson Jr. It wasn't the offense. The offense was brutal that day. So that was part one. And then part B was we didn't want to affect the compensatory pick formula. Really? Like, it wasn't worth squandering. Yeah. What the Dolphins thought at the time was they're going to get a 3rd for Robert Hunt and Christian Wilkins. Now it's looking that because of his injury, Christian Wilkins might be a 4th, which is what you would have sacrificed based on the money you would have paid. Having a dependable backup quarterback was not worth a 4th-round pick, really?
No, I don't even think it was a fourth round pick, because they would have signed a backup for about $4 million. They didn't feel like it was equivalent of losing a seventh rounder for Deshaun Elliott, which I thought was just a ridiculous statement as well. But they did say they were runner ups for a couple of guys. And my thought process is,
sure,
Andy Dalton, sure, and Joe Flacco, and I'm like, would those guys have made any difference?
Oh, I think so, and in some of the games. And the other part of it, too, is because it's easy for us to throw darts at Skyler and Tyler, and some of them are deserved, but they didn't get any help. I mean, it's like at a time when everybody else needed to pick up their game, it's like they did the opposite. You look at the game against the Colts, for example. I mean, there was one drive, it's like three consecutive plays has a penalty on it. I mean, it was brutal. And then Tyreek against Tennessee, where he flubs that lateral from Huntley and then doesn't react quickly enough to pick up the loose ball and it becomes a fumble. I mean, it's like it was almost like the Dolphin players on offense were like, "Oh, you know, Tua's not here. Why even bother?" I mean, it was that bad.
Alan, you mentioned that press conference that Chris and Mike gave, and we certainly played a lot of it here on this show, and it did not seem to be particularly well received by the fan base. But with that being said, I guess it doesn't really matter anymore what people, you know, scream from the mountaintops here, because, you know, Stephen Ross had his mind made up the entire time, it seems like, and it didn't matter that they lost to a historically terrible team in the Jets in the last game. They were going to roll with these guys, and I guess Chris kind of say what he wants at this point, because everyone seems immune over there.
Yeah, kind of, sort of, right? But, and again, it's not surprising. Like, I thought, and this is a question and every media member was asking and being asked before the end of the regular season, is how safe are those guys? And to me, McDaniel wasn't even a conversation. He's back. And then with Chris Greer, my take along was less than 50-50, and I think I dropped it down to like 25% at one point that they'll make a change. And I think Omar wrote that in one of his columns, that, you know, Stephen Ross gets comfortable with certain people. He's got people whispering in his ears. And I think more than anything else, he wants the Dolphins to be relevant. And they were very relevant through most of 2023, until it went south at the end of the season. And then it can be partly explained with injuries. And then last year, it's very easy to say, well, look, the starting quarterback missed six games. That's why we're not in the playoffs. And then maybe 2025 is another season where he escapes injuries and we're right back in the playoff picture.
In the playoffs, but can you beat any of these teams in the playoffs? And my argument would be no, but that would have been the same argument even if Tua had played six games. Here's my thing, Poupard, and this is something that I addressed in a column in the Miami Herald last week. Steve Ross is terrified to hire. And if you look at every time he's had to do it, it's been a very traumatic, horrible experience, with probably Brian Flores as the lone exception. And then we see how that played out. So what would motivate Steve Ross to go out there and purge his coach and fire his GM and fire his head coach and then start fresh with a whole new organization and regime? Tell me, what is the motivation outside of fending off apathy?
Correct. No, it's an excellent point you made, and that's a very good column you wrote. And the additional factor is the dude's, what, 84, 85 years old? I don't know that he have much of an appetite for going through that process unless basically he's backed against the wall where he has no choice, or it's going
to
be
or there's a big fish out there to go get. Like, next year, let's say Mike Tomlin's out there, and I'm not saying that, you know, Pittsburgh's going to get rid of him, because I think Pittsburgh would be ridiculous to get rid of him. If Mike Tomlin's out there, you throw everything in the kitchen sink to try to get him. GM power, final say, $10 million a year. That would be a great motivator to go do that. But right now, when you're looking at this array of head coaches that everybody's interviewing, even Dallas's former coach, does he move you? Does he inspire you to create change?
No, the two guys who move the needle more than anybody in this coaching cycle are Deion Sanders who comes with a lot. I mean, tell me I'm wrong.
He moves the needle. I don't necessarily know I could sit there and tell you that he's a good coach.
Oh, I agree. I agree with you. Trust me, you know my feelings.
Yeah, I know your feelings, yes.
Whole lot of flash and...
Yes, whole lot of flash. Not necessarily enough substance.
Correct. And the other one is Ben Johnson, who's a former Dolphins assistant.
Oh, hold on. Wait a minute. What about Mike Vrabel? Don't disrespect Mike Vrabel.
Oh, okay. Well, but he's already gone.
If you were going to fire, like I think New England fired Mayo to get Vrabel because he's out there. And he would have absolutely been at the top of my selection process.
Oh, absolutely. Without question. Absolutely. But then the thing with Mike Vrabel and the Dolphins, had it come to pass, pun intended, based on the because of the style of offense the Dolphins played, that's not what Mike Vrabel is. Mike Vrabel is your kneecaps in your face like Dan Campbell is.
Yes.
And that's the opposite of what the Dolphins are.
Well, that's what they need to become. Let me ask you, I saw a column that you put up earlier today. And it's right in my wheelhouse because, you know, I love the finances of the NFL. And you know my stance, which is that the Dolphins have been doing horrible business for about 3 years now. Just horrible business. It's get, you know, run another credit card, max out daddy's credit card again. Okay, we're up against the cap again. Let's get another credit card, max it out again. And you're basically proposing to do that. With the restructuring of contracts, with the shaking down of veterans, they are right now $12 to $14 million over the cap before they even build their team. This is a position they've been in for what, the last 2 years, where they have to begin the process over the cap, restructure deals, and I don't see an easy way to create money this offseason. Do you? Because I don't.
Well, as I indicated, there's a few guys you can restructure and or extend to create some space.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Tua number one, Tua's cap number is $39 million.
Yeah.
That can be adjusted. And again,
but you give him a signing bonus, then you're more money in the back end of the deal, harder to cut him. Go ahead, continue.
Oh yeah, well, yeah, but that's what's gonna have to happen no matter what. And this is the position.
The truth.
This is the game that they've basically set themselves up to play.
Correct.
That's not stopping anytime soon. Until you get to the point where it's like, okay, blow it up and do
yes.
a complete rebuild.
You have to purge the roster. Yes, but
correct.
Tua, you bring up Bradley Chubb. I'm sorry. What would motivate Bradley Chubb to restructure his deal? You even brought up Zach Sealer. I'm sorry. I'm not restructuring money. I want a new deal for twice as much as I'm being paid if I'm Zach Sealer. Like, any other conversation is not even, I'm not even listening to. So tell me, how are they going to get this money, Poupart?
Okay, hold on. And then, first of all, if you read the article very carefully, you would know this. It's either restructure or extend. Zach Sealer's a guy right now for whom the Dolphins have an insane bargain. The amount
yes.
of money he makes for the quality of play he gives you is crazy. This is a guy you extend, and by extending him, you can lower his cap number for 2025. Bradley Chubb is in a situation where the Dolphins are going to play hardball with him, and if Bradley Chubb says, no, thank you, then the Dolphins absolutely can release him as a post-June 1 cut and chop off the numbers off the top of my head. They're not coming to me, but it's 1, 2, 3. It's 8 digits.
Yeah. I think you're...
The drop.
I'll look up. You, I think you said 19 million.
Okay, and the drawback, you can't use that money until June 1, but that's money that you will have taken off your cap. See, because Zach Seeler is in a position to tell the Dolphins, yeah, no, talk to the hand. Bradley Chubb, considering he missed the entire 2024 season after a massively serious knee injury, not quite in that same position of strength as Seeler is. And the same for Teron, who remains a very good player, but he's got, what is it, $22 million cap number is very high.
Alan, before we let you run here, appreciate all your time this morning and insight on the Dolphins. I just wanted to run through these games this weekend with you. I like to get everyone's picks on these if we can. We got Chiefs and Texans, 4:30 Saturday. Who do you like?
Oh, I would love for Houston to win because my case of Chiefs fatigue syndrome is acting up again, but I have a hard time seeing Houston winning that game.
Lions and Commanders, 8 o'clock Saturday.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels is an absolute complete stud, but Detroit is completely stacked. I think the Lions win pretty handily.
Eagles and Rams, 3 o'clock on Sunday.
The Rams' defense is really, really good, but Philly is good on both sides. At the line of scrimmage, I think they're a little bit too much for them.
And finally, the big one, 6:30 Sunday, Bills and Ravens.
Yeah, I'm lame because I'm going all chalk here. But before the playoffs started, I said on my podcast, the team that to me struck me as the most dangerous in the AFC was Baltimore. And I don't know that I see anything changing there. Lamar and Josh Allen are both ridiculous, but I think Baltimore's a better all-around team right now.
All right, so you're leaning towards all the favorites. I'm torn on that last game, but I do agree with you on the other three. Alan, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon, all right?
Sound like a plan. Take care, guys.